B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, a 49-year-old man who had a falling out with a friend was sentenced Tuesday to 3 years of probation. This is a follow-up, by the way, for filling up a plastic toolbox with dog feces and setting it to explode when his former friend opened it.
Yeah.
Rob Alexander Stout told a judge that he went to a wrecking yard, retrieved an old inflatable airbag, and packed it into a toolbox with dog droppings covering it. He said, so when it was open, it would just blow dog crap on him. Police
That's
say,
the master plan.
Police say Stout set the device on the back of his former friend's Camaro, and that when his friend fell for the trap, it, quote, exploded with such force that it sounded like an M80 going off and the dog crap was blown out of the toolbox. Now, the friend wasn't injured. Tuesday, when Judge Edward Jones asked Stout why he did it, Stout explained that he believed his friend was holding on to some tools of his and wasn't going to give them back.
He said, I thought I'd blow him up.
He said, I guess the right way would have been to get a police officer involved. But he said, but you can see my history. I'm not psyched where I'm calling the cops, unfortunately. Stout has 14 previous convictions, 10 felonies and 4 misdemeanors.
So that's why he'd be reticent to call the police.
Yeah, including dealing or manufacturing illegal drugs and attempting to elude police. He said, so I took it upon myself, rather than be violent like I could have been.
Mind you.
He said, you know, on the streets, that's the way a lot of that stuff is handled.
You do your talking with dog poop.
Stout said that he and his friend used to make similar explosive devices together for fun and that there's 1,000 of these videos of people doing the same thing. Stout said that he wasn't trying to hide the fact that he made the toolbox device and that he didn't think of it as a crime.
One of the few laughs in the movie Men at Work is that. And in fact, they use an airbag.
Yep. He said it was just made to hurt his ego and give me my stuff back. Like a wake-up call.
You know what? I should probably give him his tools back.
The judge said that despite what Stout thought people do go to prison for building devices to explode on other people.
Yes, I've read about that.
And Jones said, we just can't have that. It was a stupid choice and a stupid decision. I realize that now, Stout said. His former friend had arrived in the courtroom. He listened to a little bit and he later left.
See, he thought he saw a gray area here, Preston, where he was working within the boundaries of the law.
Stout pleaded guilty to unlawful manufacture of a destructive device. Police who searched his home also found a short-barreled shotgun and some methamphetamine while they were there.
So, a ticking time bomb.
But he basically is getting probation for this whole thing. So with the exception of a 2015 conviction of attempted to elude police, his most recent conviction was more than a decade ago. So
he's on the straight and narrow.
He's on the straight and narrow, yep. All right, I'm going to lead this story with a quote.
All right.
All right, and the quote is, I want my mother effing weed back. An Ohio man told the police that at the Sharonville Police Department when he called to report that 2 police officers had stolen 4 grams of his, quote, prestige weed.
His prestige weed.
The department posted an audio clip of the phone call on his Facebook page as a reminder that recreational marijuana is not actually legal in the state. He had told the police, I need to do a complaint about 2 cops. They stole my effing weed last night. His name was redacted to protect his identity. He went on to say, it was only like 4 grams, but it was prestige effing weed. And from what I know, 100 grams is cool, right? Well, the officer on the other side said, you're wrong. And he managed to keep his cool during the call. And he said, the caller said, dude, where have you been the past 2 months? 2 months ago, it got passed that 100 grams, you guys don't take it. No ticket.
Why would a police officer know the law?
The sergeant informed the man that weed is not, in fact, legal in the county, but the caller insists, I'm allowed to have up to 100 grams. I know the law. I know my effing rights. The man spelled out his full name to the cops, but when he realized his mistake, he told the cops his wife's name was Marilyn Manson.
Wow. That's a little too late after giving all the information.
Police posted
regardless of whether or not it was prestige weed, Preston.
Police posted the audio with a caption reminding police people that recreational marijuana is still illegal in Ohio.
You got to check out everything. Check out the laws before you start complaining to the cops.
Yeah, probably want to. Did you guys hear this? A 74-year-old woman gave birth.
No.
For the first time to twins, making her the oldest woman to ever give birth.
Wow. 74.
Yeah, the woman, Aramati Mangayama, and the father.
That's what she was screaming during the birth.
Yeramati Sitaram Rajaro, who is 78, of India, used standard in vitro fertilization.
Wow.
The full-term babies were delivered via C-section on the 5th.
And they were 15 years old.
The couple had tried to conceive through their entire 57-year marriage, but couldn't conceive. Mangayama said that about her infertility, people looked at me with accusing eyes as if I had committed a sin. Neighbors would call me Gadrola. Or Gadralu, which is a curse word for a childless woman.
Really?
However, my husband stood by me like a rock, she said. Her husband said, we are the happiest couple on earth today. We have our own children. They used an egg from a donor and the sperm of the husband.
So what are the health of the kids?
They're doing fine.
Doing fine?
Wow. Yeah. Mangayama got pregnant after one cycle of IVF. Their doctor called the twins a medical miracle.
The twins will be living on their own at the age of 8.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You better get ahead of the curve on this.
They would never do that in the United States.
One last story. State police are looking for a man and woman who say they tried to burglarize a house and left their car in the alleged victim's driveway because it wouldn't start when they tried to get away.
This isn't working out.
Troopers said that they were called to a home to respond to a burglary, and they say Jeffrey Paul and Janelle Brink were removing items from the home when they were interrupted by the alleged victim's mother. The two then tried to leave in their car, but it wouldn't start. So they called somebody else to come pick them up while they were there.
Can you pick us up? We're robbing a house and our car broke down.
Troopers say that they had the duo's car towed back to the barracks for evidence, and anybody who knows where Pop and Brink are where they're located is asked to call police.
The police took our car during a robbery.
Yeah. And it had my prestige weed in it.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
All right, how about this? A 28-year-old man awaiting sentencing on an attempted murder charge tossed urine on a prosecutor inside a Florida courtroom. And there's another little detail you'll enjoy here. The attack happened Wednesday in Judge Susan Alspector's courtroom. Albert Narvarez is now also charged with battery for his attack on the state attorney, Andrew Newman. A sheriff's arrest report said urine went inside Newman's mouth and all over his clothing.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh. The report didn't say what kind of container Narvarez used to store the urine in the courtroom.
Probably a Yeti.
Maybe. Yeah. Keep it nice and cold.
Right.
Narvarez charged at Newman, flung the urine at him, and yelled, "He told me to do it." He didn't say who he was referring
to.
Or what he was supposed to do.
Or why he had his own piss.
The sentencing hearing was...
We assume it was his piss, right?
Was postponed. I would make that assumption.
Right.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know, a criminal mind might go with someone else's piss.
Wait for test results to come back. All right. I'm reporting this story simply because of the name. A man who claims to be the last remaining relative of Adolf Hitler has been convicted of pedophilia after kissing a 13-year-old girl.
Holding up the family tradition.
Romano Lucas Hitler.
Okay, of course.
Claims to be the only man alive bearing the name of the murderous Nazi leader and claims to be related to the Führer through Hitler's father, Alois, A-L-O-I-S. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Romano says that Alois had a younger brother and that the grandson of the younger brother who fled to Slovakia after the war was his dad.
So is Romano his first name?
That's his first name.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I was hoping there might be a Kathy connection here. We know her dad slept with Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
What's to say mom didn't sleep with Hitler?
Oh, jeez. Your mom slept with Hitler?
Oh, dear God.
Your mustache tickles.
All right, but now the 69-year-old Hitler has been convicted of a sex attack on a child. Prosecutors took the case to court after a complaint by the girl's father. The angry dad said, I had put a garage up for sale, and Hitler answered the advertisement.
Yes, I'm very interested in your garage!
Why are you yelling?
But when he turned up, he didn't seem to have much interest in the garage, only in Ania, who is his daughter. He lured her to his flat with sweets, brought her clothes and plastic flowers, and even offered to marry her. The dad said when the daughter had told them that he had kissed her, they banned her from seeing her and filed a complaint with the police.
Oh, boy.
Hitler, however, defended himself.
Here he had the chance to turn around the whole reputation of the family.
Saying, well, I don't know about that. Saying he simply...
All right, maybe that was overstating it.
He simply enjoyed the company of the child, and that when he kissed her, it had simply been in the usual sort of greeting that was normal in Germany and was harmless. But that was rejected by the judge, who found that he had proven he had kissed a girl against her will on both the neck and cheek. Hitler will appeal the conviction, by the way.
Way to go, Hitler.
Two men in Calgary, here's a little lighter story for you, settled a heated negotiation over the sale of a home on a quiet tree-lined street with a good old-fashioned hockey shootout.
Ah.
Yeah, real estate agent Daniel Wiener said that the owner of the semi-detached house and the buyer were just $3,000 apart on price.
Wiener.
Don't do the whole Wiener clip. Thank you. No one was budging. It was an old Canadian standoff. While talks near collapsing, homeowner Gavin Walsh said that he made a sarcastic comment to Wiener, his agent, about heading to the rink to break the impasse. He said, I was surprised when the bidder came back and said, and I quote, game on.
Ah.
He decided to do it.
That's awesome.
So the buyer, who asked not to be identified, actually used to play in the NHL. But Walsh himself, a goalie in a men's recreational league, said he wasn't intimidated by his opponent's NHL career. He said he's a fierce competitor with a great sport, and the guy could pick up a truck one-handed, he said. With an audience of 30 family and friends, Walsh and the bidder hit the ice at a local recreational center for a best-of-11 competition. And Walsh, the guy who did not play in the NHL, ended up besting the former professional player with 6 saves to 4 goals and ended up getting the credit. So
that's pretty wild.
They settled it that way.
Here's your next Disney inspirational movie.
Thought that was kind of fun. Let's see. What started out as a normal day of flying for a recreational pilot, Dylan Newell, soon turned into a strange and stinky situation after he found a skunk hiding in the rear of his plane.
Oh, man.
Late last month, he was taking lessons in his Cessna Bird Dog reconnaissance plane. Newell said he had just taken off and was beginning to travel to Martha's Vineyard to do some touch-and-go training when he noticed what smelled like a skunk in the cockpit. Well, at about 1,200 feet, he began to prepare for landing when the smell started to grow stronger. He said, I couldn't imagine it was a skunk on the ground.
Is this your first time to the vineyard?
He gets tapped on the shoulder from behind.
It's beautiful.
He said, at first I was rather confused.
I'm visiting the Kennedys.
As Newell got closer to the runway, the smell continued to intensify, so he radioed the tower of the airport and told him he suspected a skunk was stowed away aboard his plane. So when I told him that I thought there was a skunk on the plane, they got really a kick out of it. And after landing at the airport, he rushed to park his plane and made a speedy egress. He checked around the inside of the cockpit and in the cabin, but he couldn't find any sign of a skunk. All the while, the smell continued to intensify. After searching the plane, Newell went around to the tail cone and rapped on the metal. He said, I started knocking and I heard some scampering.
Oh, man.
Which I thought was pretty strange. So he called the airport and told them about the skunk, at which point they offered to help him remove it. But listen to this. He said he didn't want to let the skunk out in the middle of a busy public airport. So he actually offered to fly back to Katama with the skunk on board. He said, I hopped in the plane and flew back to the Katama airfield as fast as I could.
Man. Martha's Vineyard doesn't look like I remember it.
After landing in Katama, Newell slowly opened the canvas flap.
Wing Kathmandu, is that what you said?
Rear of the plane that leads to the tail cone and watched as the skunk jumped out and ran off into a field.
The skunk goes back to his family. They're all like, Daddy, where were you?
Yeah.
You'd never believe it.
What are you doing up there? You doing some stunt flying or something?
The skunk had sprayed him.
It
could have blinded him.
It could have, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast.
Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.